the recommendations are clear that there needs to be a discussion about risks and benefits of prostate cancer screening. What are some of the potential risks?
Well, we've talked about the overdiagnosis problem already, and that's emerging as one of the big issues in prostate cancer screening. We've known in the past that screening for some cancers, like breast cancer, increase the risk women will face a diagnosis of breast cancer eventually, but we felt the mortality benefit was worthwhile. For prostate cancer, that's much, much greater. In, say, breast cancer screening, if a woman has an abnormal mammogram, there's often a particular area of the breast that's suspicious that can be biopsied, and you can look someone in the eye after that and say, it's not breast cancer. The problem with PSA is it indicts the whole prostate. And we can go in and do, in the old days, 6 or 8 biopsies, now 12 or more biopsies. And if they're negative, we can't really say, Joe, you don't have to worry about prostate cancer. We wind up saying, well, we've got to follow your PSA. We could have missed it. And that leads to more tests, more biopsies, and more anxiety over time. And sometimes you'll find cancers, and sometimes you won't. Biopsy has some small but finite risks of bleeding or infection. And then we've talked about the side effects of treatment, particularly in cases where that person might never have been destined to find out they had prostate cancer in the future.
But as a urologist, Mike, I have to commend you for saying at least one thing that I know is true. Our treatments are improving. You said it yourself, radical prostatectomy is getting better and better.
So it's always an issue of risk versus benefits. It's always trying to strike that balance. What are some good reasons why men would want to consider prostate cancer screening?
Well, I think that if there's a man, and I think Bruce illustrated this, who just really needs to know, he's not so concerned about the complications or the downsides, and really knowing whether he's got the potential for having prostate cancer is important, then a PSA decision might be right for him. The European trial does show some benefits, although fairly small ones, and someone could look at that trade-off and say, this is the right thing for me. Maybe even more likely if they have some of those risk factors we're talking about, if they're African-American or have a family history.
But that man needs to be informed of what we know, what we don't know, and what we believe.
You know, we've been talking about PSA for the most part as a pure screening test. But as a urologist, I have to use this test quite often to evaluate patients who have symptoms relevant to their prostate. And since we all know that BPH, the benign enlargement of the prostate, and prostate cancer can coexist and occur in the same population of men, for me, using PSA in evaluating patients is an indispensable tool. So while I may not be certain about PSA as a pure screening test, I'm very confident that it helps me make good decisions about how to treat men who may have BPH and who may also be at risk for prostate cancer.
This brings us to our next patient. Lamar is 65 years old and lives in Lithonia, Georgia. He was diagnosed with an enlarged prostate, but his doctor offered him the option of a PSA test. Let's hear what happened.
Photography is one of my hobbies.
I guess I'll take your picture first.
As soon as I got a job and got married, I started taking pictures and I haven't stopped since. Now I'm working with my son. If we do a wedding, then we both take pictures and we back each other up. In a tragedy like a flood or a fire, the first thing that people will look for will be their photographs and their photo albums. And that's what I have of personal photography. I have images for a lifetime. My brothers, there are 4 of us.
You can look on here and see my brothers who have succumbed to cancer.
Anthony, I think he was 45 when he passed away. When my oldest brother got prostate cancer, and then I found out that the brother that I'm next to, James, had prostate cancer as well. I'll get it too. I realized that I had some problems with my prostate. I was having this urgency to urinate, and when I urinated, it wouldn't be complete. And so I went in and I talked to Dr. Bennett.
How you doing, young man?
It's good to see you.
When people come into my office, they're already afraid of developing prostate cancer because they either had an uncle or a grandfather or a brother with prostate cancer. I don't make decisions for patients. What I do is generally inform them in this particular case, with a patient with a family history of prostate cancer and is African-American, he has two real strong risk factors. I generally will tell them that, it's my opinion, that whether he chooses treatment or not, that he may want to know whether his body potentially has prostate cancer.
All we need to do today is draw a little blood on you, but we're going to continue to monitor this. Well, have a blessed year, okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
The PSA was the thing that alerted us. He also did a biopsy to make sure everything was okay. But it came back positive for cancer.
You really don't know how it's going to turn out in the end. So we just sort of would take things day by day. My husband was so aware of the situation, and he was almost waiting to get things done because of his the past history with his brothers.
Talking to Dr. Bennett, we went over my options. And so he told me about everything. And with the history of my brothers, I told him that I wanted to have the radical surgery to just remove the prostate. It was very localized. And that was why we decided on the treatment that we did, because we knew exactly where it was.
We were able to make good decisions because we were educated by Dr. Bennett. And so we knew all of our choices. And he didn't just say we have to do this and not inform us about the outcome of each process.
There are side effects. I had to battle with incontinence, but I realize now that I have to do my exercises. There are also impotency that comes along with it. In my case, we worked all of those problems out. Thank goodness I was able to find out about problems with my prostate and have something done about it. By going through our cancer treatment, that I value life so much more than I would have. There's life after prostate cancer.
Sounds like Lamar made a really good decision for him. And I really like what Dr. Bennett said, that he doesn't tell patients what to do, but informs them and helps them decide. Not only is he African-American, but he's got, sounds like, two first-degree relatives who died fairly young of prostate cancer. So he's at the highest risk. And that should be the kind of man who benefits the most from prostate cancer screening and aggressive treatment.
While Lamar is not exactly a screen-diagnosed prostate cancer patient, he actually talked about having some symptoms. Almost all of us, myself included, would encourage a person who has symptoms due to the prostate to actually get the test. Informed decision-making regarding screening is for people who are male and asymptomatic of a certain age. But if someone has a prostate cancer problem, then they really ought to be getting the PSA and they ought to be getting the digital rectal exam. And it becomes a diagnostic test at that point as opposed to a screening test.
The issue of what kind of symptoms should trigger a diagnostic evaluation has been an interesting problem. So many men, as they get older, may get up once at night to urinate, may have to spend a little more time in the bathroom. It's been pretty clearly established that those kind of symptoms don't raise the risk of that man having prostate cancer. But certainly rapidly progressive symptoms, blood in the urine, other worrisome symptoms would be things that should trigger that diagnostic evaluation.
You know, just to amplify a point that Mike made in one of his earlier comments, I sometimes tell my patients that, you know, at a simplistic level, there may be three types of prostate cancers: the birds, the turtles, and the rabbits. The turtles are the ones that we often find with PSA screening, don't need to be treated. The birds are the ones that definitely kill men, but guess what? They fly away in between PSA or digital rectal exam intervals, and we don't do a whole lot about them. Hopefully, we can find some of the rabbits, the fast-growing ones that are still contained to the prostate that we can cure when we discover them. And the question is, just how frequently do we do that?
You know, Jerry, I like your analogy, because one of the things that's a pet peeve of mine is we very frequently hear people say we must screen black men because prostate cancer is more aggressive in black men. At one point, a principle of screening is disease is so aggressive that screening actually will not be beneficial. You're not going to be able to catch the tumor with screening.
Yeah, I think painting this as a rabbit hunt is a good picture. One of the things we've learned over the last 20 years is that there are a lot more turtles and birds than we thought before. And one of the reasons why the two big trials have shown at best a modest benefit is that those rabbits are relatively few and far between. It may be important to detect them, but we need to figure out something to do that prevents us from detecting the turtles, and we need another mousetrap for the birds.
Well, with all the uncertainties about prostate cancer screening for some men, it seems like prevention would really be the best tact. What does the latest research tell us about prostate cancer prevention?
Well, I, for one, really admired the prostate cancer prevention trial, which looked at a 5-alpha reductase inhibitor. And although there were some problems with the initial interpretation of that trial, I think on balance it shows that 5-alpha reductase inhibitors are apt to be very effective at secondary prevention of prostate cancer.
Yeah, now it hasn't been FDA approved yet, but the study actually showed that finasteride, when compared to a placebo over 7 years, decreased a man's risk of getting prostate cancer by about 25%. Now, the side effects of finasteride were actually fairly minimal, and men also, by the way, had an important positive side effect in that they were able to urinate better. Less likely to end up needing a TURP because of benign prostatic hyperplasia. There was an increased number of high-grade tumors, so it's fair to say that if you take finasteride, it decreases your risk of getting prostate cancer, but if you get prostate cancer, it may more likely be higher grade. Now, further studies and analyses of that are very, very suggestive. Not that finasteride causes high-grade, more aggressive cancer, but it makes it easier to diagnose high-grade cancer when it's actually there.
Now, I think primary prevention is a really great idea. And I worry a little bit that we've put too many eggs in the screening basket with cancer in general, including prostate cancer. The great thing about prevention is you reduce both the chance of getting it and hopefully dying of it. Screening increases the chance of getting it. Hopefully we can reduce your chance of dying of it as well. But why not go for both? So I think more study of primary prevention is really important. But as far as 5-alpha reductase inhibitors are concerned, I still have some residual concern about recommending this for preventing prostate cancer. In the prostate cancer prevention trial, there was this observation that although low-grade cancers were reduced, there was some suggestion that there was some increase in high-grade cancers. Those are the ones that you're more likely to die of, not simply with. And any promotion of those cancers could give us the opposite effect that we want on mortality. Now, most experts, including myself, think that probably that was an artifact, but I don't think probably is good enough in this case if we're going to unleash it on the population. I really think these trials need to be done to show that mortality, the actual chance of dying, is reduced. Unfortunately, that requires much larger studies, but I'm worried about just saying we lower the incidence of getting it, but we're not sure that we don't raise the risk of dying of it. And to me, that's a real worry.
You know, my take on the 5-alpha reductase inhibitors as preventive agents for prostate cancer is that I actually think they work. On the one hand, you may say, well, look, you're only reducing the diagnosis of the lower-grade cancers. I actually think that's a good thing because that makes a man much less likely to be treated if we're not diagnosing the cancer. These drugs, as Otis said, also have a substantial effect on overall prostate health. The surgery for BPH, urinary retention, urinary tract infections are improved by these drugs. And finally, in a second trial that we've just presented with dutasteride, another 5-alpha reductase inhibitor, there was no increase in high-grade cancers. And furthermore, as was seen in the prostate cancer prevention trial, we made PSA into a better marker for these high-grade cancers, and it looks like when we did diagnose them in the reduced trial, they were actually smaller than the cancers that occurred in the men receiving placebo.
I will tell you, I also think that the 5-alpha reductase inhibitors decrease risk of prostate cancer. I'm fairly certain of it, but not screening actually lowers your risk of diagnosis more than taking finasteride.
Right, it's an interesting conundrum. The guideline statement just came out from the American Urological Association and the American Society of Clinical Oncology suggesting doctors might want to discuss using 5-alpha reductase inhibitors for patients, but only if they decide to be intensively screened, actually much more intensively than even the European trial. So it's a little bit strange to think that men would choose to be aggressively screened, which basically is going to double their risk of prostate cancer, increase it by 100% or so, and then take a fairly expensive medicine every day to knock that back by another 20 or 25%. It just doesn't fit well to me. If I'm going to take it, I want to be sure that there's data that suggests I'm going to lower my risk of dying of it.